guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigate. We're going to be looking at chapter 7 of Romans as we continue in our journey through this book today, but we're only going to read from verse 14 through to 25 out. This is what God says, beginning at chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For if I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So I'm joined with Ryan, and we're going to have a chat over this passage. And Ryan, we find ourselves very much in the middle of this idea from Paul in the last episode that we were talking about, of being a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. And Paul kind of explores that a little bit further in this passage. So let's have a chat.
Yeah, absolutely. To help make some sense of this, to give us a bit of a picture to start with, a guy who discipled me growing up, we used to read the Bible together, he took me through Romans, and we hit this passage. He said, okay, Ryan, here's a picture for you. And so I'm going to give it this picture for us all.
Yeah.
I used to do cabinet making, and so in the cabinet making factory, there is a foreman, and he tells you how to do your job well. He teaches you things if you don't know them. And so it helps you kind of make sense of how to live and work and do good work and form habits and patterns in the factory. And so you learn to work the way he wants you to work. But then one time we got a new foreman. The guy I loved, so I loved Dave. Dave was the first foreman I had. He got fired, he left. Then this new foreman came in and he wanted to do things differently. And I was just like, no way, this is different. I'm not sure if I like this. And so I had to get used to a whole new way of actually working in the factory under this new foreman. And it was really hard. And so it's kind of like the picture we get here with Paul saying, hey, Adam and sin, they're no longer the foremans in your heart. They're no longer dictating to you how you should live. But like my experience in the picture, habits die hard. And although we now have Christ and the Spirit ruling our hearts as the foreman, we're no longer slaves to sin, but now slaves to righteousness. Our hearts still, sadly, know so well the way of sin.
Yeah.
Know so well the habits of the past. And so we're having to learn to die to that. And so it's like almost when I'm wanting to follow the new foreman, the old ways are close at hand.
Yeah.
And so this is the tension we feel here with Paul.
Yeah.
And when we kind of think about it with him, he's been freed from sin, yet the habits of sin lie so closely aligned and entangled with his desires to be actually following Jesus.
Yeah, it's a really helpful image that you give us there. I guess it's encouraging to hear you speak about that and see that. And as we look at this passage, it is what you see, and we know this experience as well. So Paul has been saved, right? So we've spent 7 chapters looking at Paul go to great lengths about how people can be saved And, you know, over and over again, it's not through what we do, it's through what Jesus has done, and it's through faith in him alone. That's what saves. So Paul is saved. But here he's speaking about the habits of his heart.
Yeah.
And the fact that even though he wants to do good, evil lies close at hand.
Mm.
And he's reflecting on this and thinking about this and kind of going, well, how do I make sense of the fact that I am saved, but I still struggle with sin? And I think it's such a helpful thing to think about, because for all of us listening, we know this struggle. You know, for every single person who's ever called themselves a Christian, we know this struggle where it's like, yes, I know Jesus, but I'm still living my life where I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And Paul puts a face to it and he says, well, that's actually, that's sin.
Mm.
And we'll always in some ways be slaves to sin until we see Jesus face to face. And so we have to live with this wrestle of sin and Jesus and what it means to live in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And in lots of ways, it also is made sense of our experience of other relationships and life. You know, again, I keep coming back to attachment theory, because it helpfully captures, or it explains this experience for us, where God's law exposes in our hearts how we're so enslaved to sin. And what Paul is experiencing here is how God starts to disrupt the old habits of his heart. And it's a painful process. And because, sin is like blinking and breathing to us. It's like we grew up in it. It's like the air we breathe. It's like the fish analogy you use. It's like the swimming in water. It's just like, water? What water? For us, it can be like that until someone says, hey, that's water.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, that's sin. It's like, oh, really? And we can start to see gradually how entangled our heart is with it. And Paul is on that journey too. And we see, he gives us a window into that. And it's so distressing for him.
Mm.
And it should be distressing for us. But he knows at the same time God's at work in that process.
Yeah.
Slowly pulling and separating his heart from being entangled to sin. And he says here, like, he will save me from this body of death, thanks be to Jesus Christ, who delivers me from it. In a sense, you know, like you're saying, it's not till our bodies are going to be planted in the ground and we're given the resurrection bodies that we're going to be fully free from that. But we have that hope, thanks to Jesus.
Yeah, that's it. And it's so helpful that we see this, because, you know, just to reflect a little bit more on his words, he says, you know, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the stuff I don't want to do, I do.
Yeah.
And like, how much, that's such a human, you know, feeling for all of us, where it's like, man, I feel this like day in, day out, where it's just like, I want to be better.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better neighbor. You know, like I want to be better.
Mm.
And then you get home and you're just like, why wasn't I better? You know, and then it's like, and then you when you stuff up and you're like, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a dad that gets annoyed. I don't want to be a friend that, you know, gets frustrated, that isn't there when people need me. There's just so many moments like that. And that's a universal thing that all of us feel, where it's just like, man, we actually want to be better, but we can't live up to the standard that even we want to live. And Paul's saying, well, of course that's the reality, because you were a slave to sin. And when you come to Jesus, there's this sense in which you've got to learn the way of Jesus.
Yeah.
But being a slave to, you know, making that shift, it's kind of like, but it's almost like he's saying, remember, you live in this world.
Mm.
And while we live in this world, we're always going to keep stuffing up and falling to that. But as you said, there's a hope here. You know, because when we reflect on who we are and the fact that we don't live up to our standards, it's like, man, I actually am terrible.
Mm.
I'm wretched. You know, and the temptation is to pile the shame up on that. I am no good. I am unlovable. No one would ever be interested in me. But he's like, no, Jesus actually is.
Yeah.
And he delivered us even in that.
Yeah. And it's where when we hit passages like this, we need to remember what Paul said, is how much more in this battle will I be rescued? Will God's love show up for me?
Yeah.
Because he died for me, knowing all this at the beginning, even when I was unaware of all this stuff. Even then he loved me and he will continue to love me. And as we'll see in, as Paul continues to lead us through Romans, that there's a great future hope of, when we see Jesus, we'll experience that same love.
as we reflect on this passage and this idea that, you know, we're not living up to the standard we want to live. You know, for some of us out there, we feel this, that we're not doing the good stuff we want to do and we're doing the bad stuff we don't want to do. What I'm struck by is just the fact that the book of Romans all fits together, and originally this would have been read out as a whole thing. And I think that if we think about that for a moment, we would hold very tightly the fact that Romans 7 comes after Romans 1 to 6. And in Romans 1 to 6, it's the story of how God went to great lengths to rescue us and show us love. And as we reflect on our failures, we can do so knowing that we're reflecting on it from the safety of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. We can think about this knowing Paul's words here, where he says, "What a wretched man I am, who will save me from this body of death?" And then he reflects on it and he says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Today, as you reflect on perhaps your failures or not being who you want to be, let's hold on to this reminder that God has rescued us and saved us through what Jesus has done and the fact that he's done that perfectly. Thanks for listening today. We hope you were able to hear God speak, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Heaps.